Hello and thanks again for joining us on the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. I'm Mark Guidi once again. Joining us today is our very own Simon Ferry, getting all set for the playoff site.
Can't wait, mate, buzzing for him.
More than that in a few weeks' time. And alongside Simon today, they've got Andy McLaren, a good friend of the programme. Andy, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, Mark, thanks.
And obviously this week we will be speaking about Celtic and Rangers. The news, of course, that Graham Murty has now parted company. Andy knows Graham Murty well, having played with him at Reading almost 20 years ago. We'll speak about the Celtic-Rangers game, the aftermath. We'll speak about the race for second, Hibs, Aberdeen and Rangers, all involved. And Simon's sit-down this week has been with Gary O'Connor. And just to get some thoughts on one or two of the things that Gary's been saying, mainly the fact that he thought had the Hibs golden generation been able to stay together, Kevin Thompson, Stephen Whittaker, Dennett Ryland, Scott Brown, that they could have won the Premier League. So we'll have a blather about that.
And what Bobby Williamson had on his toast.
And what Bobby Williamson had on his toast.
Sardines. We'll get
steak
down on his toast.
I actually thought it was Budweiser. Budweiser on toast. That's what Bobby would have had.
That was me, Mark.
hey, Bobby could do you with the buds. Don't worry about that. I know Bobby will be listening. I hope he's keeping well over in Africa. So, listen, let's crack on. Celtic Rangers side. Looks like we're kind of deja vu from a couple of weeks ago after the William Hill Scottish Cup semi-final. The league game, 5-0. I mean, wow. I mean, Celtic good, but Rangers, it's worrying times.
I didn't think it could get any worse for Rangers after that cup game. And the fact that they put that performance in the cup, you think one thing they're going to come out is fighting. Just a complete lack of fight, complete lack of game plan, complete lack of quality. I actually couldn't believe what I was watching after 20 minutes. How easy Celtic went through them. When Murty first came in, the one thing he made them was hard to beat against Celtic. Mm. And it just seems like he's gone away from that completely. For what reason, I do not know. I don't know when they got the new players in January, they won a couple of games, he maybe started to think that he could go and take them on. But for
what,
me,
what did they do from... So let's go back to the 0-0 game before the winter break. And as you say, before that, his first time in charge, he got a draw at Celtic Park. As well, what tactically then, what did they do differently? Was it similar? Is it the players just switched off, no playing from, or tactically did they try and have a go at
We spoke about it again. Graham Dorn's playing as a centre midfielder absolutely baffles me. Yeah. I've never seen Dorn's tackle since I've known him. Mm-hmm. He's not a tackler. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that gets off the front and scores goals, comes in for a wide and scores goals. Andy Halliday at left back baffled me against James Forrest's pace. I mean, looking at the team, it actually looked like he wanted to get the sack when I seen his team.
See, in that instance, when you know that Declan John's out, can't play, and your only option is Andy Halliday, is that one of the ones you say, wait a minute, we need to seriously think about sorting things out with Lee Wallace to bring him back in that day? No, or well,
you don't know what's happened there, that's the problem, isn't it? We don't, unless you're privy to what's actually happened, how bad it was, then. But it seems to me as if you're cutting your nose off to spite your face, you know, especially coming here after back of 2 weeks ago. But as soon as Simon, you says it, as soon as I seen the team, I thought they're in trouble. You know,
what in particular made you think that, Andy?
Andy Halliday at left back gave me real concerns. Being a winger, you know, if you see somebody who can't defend, let's be honest. And James has been good in these games the past few weeks. So listen, I really fancied Celtic as soon as I seen the team. And Simon speaks about it as well. They seem to have players playing out of position. They buy good players and don't play them in the positions that they're good at.
The whole back four, though, when you look at James Tavernier's defending for the fifth goal, and just, you know, Edouard had literally walked past them before rolling it along the 6 yard box. You look at Russell Martin and young Ross McCrory, you know, there's no a partnership there. And I think, if anything, we now, you could say that Ross McCrory is a holding midfield player. That's where his future is, rather than as a central defender. And as you see, Andy Halliday just, you
but
know,
you,
see,
you
get
talk
it
about a game plan. I didn't honestly know what Rangers were trying to do in Sunday. No. I really didn't. I didn't know if they were sitting in or were trying to have a go, or they were. It just, because Celtic were that dominant, and you couldn't tell what Rangers' actual game plan was. Was it to sit and try and contain, or was it to try and hit the break? Or because it was. They showed nothing, you know, absolutely nothing.
For me, Tom Rogic is Celtic's best player. Yeah. I think he's Celtic's best player. Who was marking? Who was meant to pick Tom Rodgick up? Yeah. He had so much space.
Yeah.
See, for me as well, the first 15-20 minutes of an Old Firm game, it used to be you could play one without a ball. Yeah. You know, it was you'd just be flying into tackles and try and mark your territory. You know, and there was none of that. You know, Celtic just get for the off. They were just getting it done and popping that about, and there was no, you know, there was always a bit of fight. Yeah. To me, you know, I mean, every Old Firm game you remember a tackle in it. You know, you can't, the last couple you can't remember. I can't remember, honestly, a bad tackle. Could you imagine doing that to John Brown or some of the Rangers players? Yeah. You know, you'd get tackled down about the neck, you know, if you're 3-0 down and keeping the ball up and doing things like that. I think it was a wee bit different.
So we'll move on to Graham Martin. Obviously, he's parted company with the club today. That's Rangers' third managerial change in 18 months, Mark Warburton. Less than 18 months, Mark Warburton. Pedro Caixinha, and now Graham Murty. Andy, you know Graham, you played with him at Reading in 1999, almost 20 years ago. Do you feel for him?
I think, you do feel for him, but it was a massive opportunity for him as well, you know. And I think he'll maybe look back and see I've made a few mistakes. I don't know what the mistake, well, there's obviously a few glaring ones, you know what I mean, but I think he was thrown under the bus a wee bit as well. I think he's been left to deal with, I think he should have been given a wee bit more help for certain quarters.
Do you think he didn't do the media on Sunday, he just thought it wasn't wise to put him up in terms of his state of mind? When you knew him as a player, you know, what kind of mentality did he have?
He was always a strong guy. I mean, the time I was at Reading, he was injured a lot, but he came back for a serious injury, so that shows you the kind of mentality of him, you know. But as I say, getting in there and, I mean, I think many chances you get to manage a club like Rangers, you know, so it was an opportunity for him.
What will his biggest regret be now that he's away from the club? He ain't going to be the manager. When he reflects, whether it's today or a week from now, what will he be thinking in terms of, I wish I'd done that one thing differently?
Listen, it's obvious, I think he lost the dressing room. You know, I don't think the boys were playing with him, were playing for him. So he'll maybe look back on that and think, what could he have done better?
Been firmer, you mean, with the boys actually from day one? I'm the gaffer.
He seemed like a bit of David Brent to me. Do you know what I mean? Like, he was there to please the boys. Mm-hmm. And if you're an experienced manager, I think the one thing you need to do is have a great bond with your older players. And the fact that you fought with Kenny Moore and Lee Wallace, you're too experienced, you've got no chance after that. And you can see with the celebrations, wee boy Candace run by him to go and celebrate with the boys. I mean, imagine him doing that to Stephen Gerrard. He would wring his neck.
But see, every good manager you play under, every top manager, there's a fear there. No fear.
Yeah, definitely, Andy, I agree.
See with Brendan, you know, you're kind of... They intimidate you, you know, any good manager.
Tell me this, have you had cases, both of you, where you've played under managers and there's been one you go, do you know what, I can go here, I can go over the line with this guy, and there's been one you thought, I'm not even going to try and take an inch with this guy. Give us some examples.
Every new manager comes in, there'll be one or two in the dressing room that'll test them. You know,
it's usually me and you.
How far you can go. It's human nature, especially with a group of young 20-year-old guys. You know, you're gonna see that. You know, I mean, the Navy would have done that early doors with him, and they'd have found out his weaknesses. You know, you wouldn't do that with wee Jim McLean or guys like that. Tommy Burns walked through doing it at Reading. Guys like that. You knew who the manager was, you know, and I think that was one of the problems. You know, I don't think it was as firm. I know there's different ways to manage nowadays, but when I played, you knew who the manager was. You know, he was a guy making decisions. You weren't questioning him. I mean, you see guys shouting back half and things like that and answering back. You just wouldn't have done that with a Jim McLean or a Jock Steen or Jock Watt. Could you imagine doing it with any of them?
I
think that's something that's lost.
The hierarchy at the club, though, in terms of before the semi-final, the statement from Dave King, and then, you know, in the build-up to the game on Sunday, the Stephen Gerrard stuff's all over the news as well. So from that point of view, you think, you know,
I know, Matt,
from within, they could have had a wee bit more protection from his gaffers.
For me, that's part and parcel of being the Rangers manager.
Yeah.
You know, I think I've heard Brendan Rodgers saying when he was at Chelsea, people were linked to his job and it was under 20s manager. That's what comes with being at a big club.
Yeah.
You need to be able to do that. Surely he knew, coming at the Rangers job, if I had done a day well, people are going to be linked to this job. That's what happens, that's the territory. And I just didn't think he had the personality to deal with it.
And some of his press conferences as well. I mean, I think he had one on Friday where he's saying he's done
wonderful.
He's done an unbelievable job. You know,
I think Rangers, he started to believe his own hype a wee bit.
No, I think he was. I think he knew. Obviously, he was finished at Rangers, and that's him. He was trying to do a selling job for himself to get something down the road. Wasn't it?
But he's not done a wonderful job. I mean, Rangers are. I think they're battling now to finish fourth. So, I think when he came in, there was.
I think you could say it's been all things considered, it's been decent from him. But when you look at whether you blame the players, you blame him. But you know, back to backs, 4-0 and 5-0 against Celtic, and that moves us on to our next point. If you're Steven Gerrard, and there's no doubt he would have been watching the game on Sunday, if he's got one or two niggly doubts about whether he should take it or not, what do you think? What do you think he'd have been thinking in the aftermath of that 5-0 defeat?
He'll be thinking, I need a right few quid, and I need 12 or 13 new players. If I'm watching that game as a potential Rangers manager, turning the telly off at half time, aren't you? And you're on the phone to players trying to get them in.
You're running for your agent.
You're asking for more dough as well.
Listen,
it basically comes down to how much am I getting to rebuild this club?
You know, he obviously if he thought he knows he'd got a lot of work to do after watching that. He probably didn't think he had that much. He probably thought, like, look at some of the players there. You see Dawn's guys that played in the Premier League and things like that. And you think, there's a few boys there I can work with. And then you watch that and you think, Simon's right, it's maybe 20 players. He needs a full squad, you know.
See, if you're a Rangers player thinking Steven Gerrard could be my manager next year, and you go, why would you ever go and put a performance like that? It absolutely baffles me, you know. A chance to work with a guy like Steven Gerrard next year, and in 90 minutes, you could have just flung that away.
So you look at the big picture, so we'll probably all agree that in terms of a starting 11, he's looking at what? Leading at least seven players to come in. So if Alan McGregor's a done deal, Scott Arfield's a done deal, maybe a couple will survive. You can go and work with the young boy, Ross McCrory, improve him. You can work with Greg Docherty, go and try and improve him. Maybe one or two others. So when you look at the law of averages with managers, if you get two or three signings right a year and they actually come really good for you, if you can have a 50% ratio, you're probably happy with that. So how do Rangers fix what's wrong in time to stop Celtic from being in the same position this time next year?
Listen, they say build for the back, didn't they? So I think they need a full new back four, depending on what happens with Lee Wallace. But you need centre halves that are going to go and defend. Go and header the ball and be hard to beat, you know. That's what you've got to do. You've got to make Rangers hard to beat. I mean, going back to next season, if Celtic come out and win 4 or 5 again, next season, you know, they've got to even. I mean, I think Rangers are a 2-0 Saturday before the game.
You know,
and that's a sad indictment if Rangers are prepared. But I think if you'd have spoke to Mace Rangers fans on Saturday before the game, they'd probably say, by the way, we'll just take a 2-0 here and get away up the road. So he's got a lot of work to do.
But you never know if a coach can come in and lift these players that are here. I mean, some of the Celtic players who are heroes now were getting criticised heavily when Ronnie Dyle.
They were running leagues.
I know they were winning leagues, Andy, but the fans weren't happy with them and they didn't look anywhere near the players that are now, you know. So it is, when you play, you know yourself, it's mad what a manager can do.
It's going to need to be an amazing transformation, to go through.
I think he needs a 2 or 3 good older pros in there. Definitely. If Kenny Miller and Lee Wallace are going to leave, the first thing I'm doing if I'm Steven Gerrard is I'm trying to get 2 or 3
straight down the middle. You need a good
goalie. So McGregor's in, you've got a goalie.
You get a big centre half, but you thought Alves was going to be there. But you need a real rugged centre half, you know, somebody that's going to fall out with people and point a finger because the 4-5-0 down there, there's nobody falling out with each other.
You're right.
You know, there's nobody.
Even Russell Martin seems quite nice all the time.
Pulling people in, you know. I mean, I've played in games where you can beat 4-5-0, but there's boys in the dressing room pulling their hair out and wanting to fight with each other. You know, I would be amazed if that wasn't happening on Sunday in the dressing room, but you didn't see it in the pitch. You didn't see anybody really getting into anybody or pulling people across or, you know, just trying to organise, you know. But there doesn't seem any real out-and-out leader there either.
In terms of Steven and Gerrard, if you look at, you know, we're taking it that he is going to take the job. Some people are saying, yeah, Gary McAllister will be part of the backroom staff. Yep. Other people are saying, no, definitely not. So I'm not sure about that one. I think he should be part of the backroom staff. I think it ticks a lot of boxes and makes a lot of sense for him to come together. Andy Gary Mack's a guy that you know very well, too. Do you think if you're Steven Gerrard, providing Gary wants it, that you offer him a role in his staff?
I think that, listen, knowing, I know Gary quite well, and I know the relationship he's got with Steven G. So that, see, for me, that seems a no-brainer. If Gerrard's coming, I think Gary might have come with him. And Gary Mack's, listen, a real good football guy, knows his stuff. He'll automatically command respect, I think, in the dressing room, you know, for what he's done. And I think it'd be a great partnership if everything else is sorted. But that's the big if, you know. I mean, because you're saying people are banding figures about 30 million, 40 million, they're going to need this, they're going to need that. The problem they've got is if Rangers spend 30 million, Celtic can go and do the exact same thing as well. So that's going to keep that gap, you know, unless you're bringing in and you're going to really coach these players. And but as I said, Celtic are 2, 3, 4, 5 years in front with that, you know. So there's a lot making up to do.
So how important is it for, if it again, you know, presuming it's going to be Stevie Gerrard, how important is it that he has an experienced number two stroke first team coach alongside him, whether it's Gary McAllister or not? But he's going to need somebody there that knows the game in terms of on the training ground every day, tactics, how to deal with players, somebody there to give him a hand.
I don't think it's that important, to be honest with you, Mike. No, I honestly don't. We had DeCani, who had his first manager's job, came to us. His assistant had never been an assistant, but like Andy said, everyone respected DeCanio, feared him, and his training was brilliant. It didn't matter what his assistant was like. We followed him. Whatever he said went, and we done it. It didn't matter who his assistant manager was, what the training sessions were like, we followed the manager. And I think that's what Rangers need. A manager that the players are going to follow and going to listen to. The manager's the guy you listen to. I don't listen to assistant managers. I'm not being horrible to assistant managers, but I don't know. The manager's the man I listen to, and that's it.
But even so, that's fair enough. I take that point, yeah. But... Okay, so once training's finished, you guys are all away home at 12 o'clock, the manager's got another 7 or 8 hours to go in his day. He needs good people there beside him to bounce his ideas 100%. Off of, particularly a massive club. One of the key points is being able to delegate properly, so he's got, you know, it's vital, his backroom staff's vital.
As well, he's never played in Scotland either, you know, so I think that would be good to get somebody in, maybe he's his number three, that... Actual, no players, and you know, because you don't want to come in that cold. You don't know anybody that plays up here, because you're going to need to set out teams to beat certain teams, and I think that'd be an important part as well. Getting somebody that just knows the Scottish game a wee bit.
I think working with Klopp for a year as well will be a massive help to me. Mm-hmm. He'd have learnt some top level manager. He'd have learnt from him, one of the best coaches in the world. So that'll definitely stand him in good stead.
Right, Stevie Gerrard. Is he going to be the manager of Rangers?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Andy?
Still not sure. I don't genuinely don't.
You're still wanting Terry Venables, son.
No, I just... I don't know. I think it'd be such a... Listen, any Joe Peters has got to be a risk, but I think it... Unless everything's perfect for him, I don't think he'll...
You're the man in the room, Matt. Is he taking it? Is he getting it?
Well, listen, if you asked me right up until kick-off time on Sunday, I would have said 99%. I thought he was going to get paraded this week. I would think that Sunday would put a serious doubt in his mind, Bernard, just to reinforce the size of the task that he's got. However, what we're not privy to is what's the war chest like. That's key. I mean, I'm again 99% positive that Rangers have got a big investment coming in. How big? We don't know, 10, 20, 30, 40, who knows? And sometimes having a huge budget isn't always the key. It's what you do, you know. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, if you know the market, you can pick up.
Listen,
you
know, see if people know you're desperate as well, the price goes up.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. Yeah. You know, if you get 40 million. See if you've got 40 million, you've probably got 10 million in that to pay people off, because you're going to need empty the place.
Right,
you know, so you've got guys there on 20s and 30s that... you're not going to say, aye, right, no problem, I'm away. You've got 2, 3 years left with £3 million. You're not going to, you know, so you've got that as well. So I think you've got another 10, 15 million in tap to get rid of people.
Right, so before I slaughter Andy for sitting the fence, I think I've sat in the fence with you, because I've not given you an answer. That's all right, okay. I'll say, will Steven Gerrard be the next manager of Rangers? Yes. There I'll say go. Yes. Andy, yes or a no?
No.
Oh, wow.
I was wanting to be like Simon Cowley and say you've got three yeses. No. We'll get two yeses and an oh. Well, time will tell. I think one way or another, we'll have a decision by the end of the week. By Friday, we'll know certainly the next manager Rangers. We've spoken there. What's that?
Owen Coyle was in for it, wasn't he? Coyle's in
for it. 20 minutes.
Stuart Baxter. Stuart Baxter. He usually gets like
that. If Coyle gets, as long as wee Sandy's involved, as long as our pal wee Sandy's in there, I don't mind. We kind of know, speak about Celtic as well, because as much as Rangers were poor, it was a very good performance. Touching one main thing for me, Odson Edouard, couple of goals, led the line well. A lot of people were questioning why is he getting the nod ahead of Lee Griffiths for the starting lineup. Brendan Rodgers got that one right. So again, we're not privy to the exact fee, but somewhere between £6 and £9 million for Odson Edouard to make it permanent. Did Celtic spend the money and bring him on board?
Yeah, definitely. I would. 19-year-old, is it?
Something like that. 19-20.
Young boy,
yeah.
19-20 to play up front on your own in Old Firm game is hard work, and I thought he was excellent. I think, again, similar to Dembele, he's a big game player, isn't he? He seems to love those big games. And I think if you play Edouard every week, 20 goals a season for him, easy. And for a 20 goal season striker, £6 million, I think you're paying him in it, definitely.
Yeah. If it's edging towards 8-9, still pay it?
Yeah, I would go for it. I would go in it. If you're looking at strikers in the Championship in England, now you're paying double that, you know? And I think, given what I've seen him so far, he could play in the Championship easy.
Do you think then, Andy, Odson Edouard's got the ability to become the next Moussa Dembele in terms of, okay, let's say the fee's £7.5 million, that within 2 years it could be a £20 million striker?
But I think a lot of it depends on Dembele as well. I think if they sell Dembele in the summer, then
it's a no-brainer.
Aye, you know, if you get 15, I don't know, 20 million for Dembele in the summer, and then you pay 7 for, it's still great business, and I think in another 2 years he could be worth 20-30. So I think that would.
I think big Russell Martin's got to move to Real Madrid after Saturday.
Yeah, throw one in, right? Time for a wee bit of mischief, right? Right, wee bit of mischief. What have we been doing? Nearly 25 minutes. What do you think, Moussa Dembele to PSG in the summer, and Odson Edouard is part of the deal coming the other way? So cash plus Edouard. What do you think? Yeah. Is Dembele, PSG are going to have a new coach, so a wee bit of a turnaround?
I think they'll be looking for somebody. They're going to be looking for.
I'm not saying you're right, and you know, PSG want to look at, but I know they're going to have Mbappe and Cavani, all the rest of them. But is that, do you think that's, is he ready to be a part of a squad at PSG? Dembele, is it, would it be good enough for that?
I think if Dembele goes somewhere, he's going to go and play. I don't know. I think if he goes to PSG, I don't think he'll play. He'll be on the bench, maybe coming on. I think the kind of guy he is, he wants to go somewhere, but he's going to be the main.
The 100 grand a week will soften the blow.
No, listen, I think he would go and play with great players. You know, I think he would go there, but I think PSG would be wanting. I think he could go there and score 20, 30 goals this season with PSG, no problem, because you've got Neymar and all the guys just
shooting him out.
I mean, Cavani scores 30, 40 there, and he misses about 50 a game as well, didn't he? You know, so
I suppose the good thing for Celtic is if Dembele is sold this summer and they can keep Edouard and make it permanent, that's great, that's a problem.
No,
sold, bump, you know, we're in, you're not chasing the summer. Look for a number 9 when you've got Champions League qualifiers. Let's not forget, you've got Lee Griffiths there.
Lee Griffiths is going to give him a run of games. He's going to get you 25, 30 goals a season as well, you know, so that competition, and then what he'll maybe do is bring in another younger one as well to develop for 2 years, you know. I think that seems to be the kind of game plan they've got, you know.
So Celtic 7 in a row there, that's it clinched, that's it official, the Champions. Again, obviously, we're now nearing towards that. Is it going to be 9? Is it going to be 10? The big talking points in Scottish football. At this moment in time, do you see Celtic, for starting point, get to 9? Is it going to be 8 and 9, do you think, Simon?
If Brendan Rodgers is, for as long as Brendan Rodgers is at Celtic, I think they'll win the league. I think he's a class above anything that Celtic have seen in years, and Scotland have seen. He's just a top class manager. Everything he does, his team selections, the players he brings, his interviews, the way he talks, I think he's just a cut above the Scottish League, and unless Rangers went and got a right proven good manager, I just can't see them. I can't see them competing with Brendan Rodgers.
Andy,
depends on what happens with Rangers, you know, but Rangers have got a hell of a lot of catching up today, because they're the only ones that's going to stop 10 in a row, aren't they? And at this moment in time, no, then Celtic look I don't reckon you get much a price at the bookies for 10 in a row just now, would you?
I don't know. I've not even.
I don't know. It's been.
Must
want
our friends at William
Hill.
I wonder what price that would be.
It's a shout because there'll definitely be a book on it.
No,
there'll be a price.
So whatever price the bookies, that probably. That'd be a good pointer to towards it as well, wouldn't it? Because yeah. He very rarely get it wrong as well, don't he?
And he'll be right down there putting his 20 pence each way on.
Is that what we're giving him for?
So thanks for joining us. We're on Open Goal, the podcast keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. Thanks again for listening. I knew you would be tuning in. You don't like to miss out. We've got Andy McLaren. We've got Simon Ferry with me, Mark Guidi. We are... what are we, 25 minutes into the programme? We've got a good 15 minutes to go. Let's touch on the race for a second. Obviously, Rangers involved in that again, but we'll concentrate more on Hibs and Aberdeen. Hibs, another great win at the weekend, entertaining game, 5-3 against Kilmarnock. And for Aberdeen, 2-0 victory. That's two back-to-backs, 2-0 since the split. It's a brilliant race, and Rangers, of course, involved as well.
Oh, excellent. I think people will say Aberdeen have had quite a bad season. I think Dell's been getting quite a lot of criticism recently, but the fact that they're still favourites for me to finish second shows he's done a great job again. I mean, a cup semi-final, race for second, I think they've had a great season. But Hibs for me are the second best team in the league to watch anyway.
Yeah.
I watched bits of Aberdeen and Hearts on Friday night, and Hearts were very poor. Yeah. I can't really judge Aberdeen on that. I think this game on at the weekend, I think Hibs beat them last time, didn't they, and battered them. I think Dale came out and said they were miles better. So I think Lenny will be looking at that. I know they're away from home, but I think Lenny will be going there to win. And it wouldn't surprise me if Hibs went and beat Aberdeen at the weekend.
Yeah. So at the moment, you fancy Hibs to finish second?
I think so. I looked through Hibs' whole squad, and I think on paper, and I think they've got better players than Aberdeen. I really do. I think their midfield's exceptional. The three of McGinn, McGeoch and Allen are better than Aberdeen's three, and they've got guys scoring goals now. Whereas I still look at Aberdeen and think, who's going to score them goals if you know at the end of the season consistently? Dell changes it quite a lot up top. Mm-hmm. Stevie May's not really done it, but the two boys at Hibs are on fire right now. And that's what you need.
And if you're right, Simon, and Hibs do finish second, you think, wow, what an achievement by Neil Lennon and his players to come up for the championship, get things going, and see off a challenge of Hibs. See off a challenge of Rangers, of Aberdeen, Hearts as well, and a resurgent Kelly team. You know, a hell of a lot of credit we deserve there.
Oh, brilliant. What a job. But the problem for him is who's going to leave in the summer? There's going to be so many people looking at McGinn, McGeoch. Will he get to keep Scott Allen? There's your three best players, could be away in the summer.
Well, McGeoch's going, isn't he?
Is he away? Is he?
I think it's pretty, because Aberdeen wanted him, so he's going down south. And
right.
Once you're talking funny money down
there. I think McGeoch's a topped player.
He's brilliant.
I think he's so underrated because of all the stuff with McGinn, but I think he really. I know it's
clever,
high praise, but he kind of reminds me of a poor man's Iniesta. You know, the way he always seems to have time in the ball, and you know, he's
same here.
Yeah,
they're both going
bald.
What a great compliment!
It reminds me, he's easy on the eye,
he
keeps the ball, and listen, I think he kind of controls the midfield because McGinn bombs on, and Allen kind of, you know, and he kind of just keeps things. He makes the game look simple, and that's the hardest thing in the world today. You know, he just makes it look easy.
What about Lennon? I mean, Neil Lennon's been terrific now at Hibs for a couple of years. He's, with all respect to Hibs, but Neil will have a, there'll be one or two keeping an eye on Neil Lennon.
I don't think he'll want to go back.
See, the thing is, Hibs is a great job, didn't it? They're getting 18,000 fans every week. The place is bouncing, you know. Listen, everything's got, it all depends on what they do in the summer, you know, because, listen, if he loses all his best players, he might get a wee bit frustrated and think, oh, I'm going to need to build here again. But listen, he might be enjoying that, you know. He's at a time in his life where he's hit the big club, you know, and I mean, he's probably getting a run of the club there, you know. He's probably, whatever he says goes, you know. He'll be the man that, listen, he'll get respect in the dressing room as well there. So he's got all that stuff, and sometimes the grass is green.
I think that Bolton job really drained him as well, didn't it? The financial.
And he's a big fish up here. He's a big fish up here as well, you know. I mean, maybe get down to the championship and. Listen, you know how hard it is down there. You know, you could get down there 3 months later out of job. You know, you've seen it with Big Stubbsy. He'd done a great job at Hibs and then thought the grass was greener, went to Rotherham. Obviously, more money, maybe a bigger budget, but it didn't last long.
So what do you think, Andy, your old teammate, your pal, Dennett McKenzie at Aberdeen. Can Aberdeen, or will Aberdeen finish second?
I think Aberdeen will finish second. Yeah. I think Aberdeen have got two home games left. I think they're at home to, they've got home to Rangers and Hibs. So it's basically in their own hands. They've won the last two, and I think they got a hard time after the semi final. But it wasn't their top team. They'd four or five. I was listening to Derek getting interviewed the other day, and I think they'd
Liam Shinney, Kenny McLean,
Logan. They're three big players. You know, I think if you take McGinn and somebody else out of the Hibs team, it makes a massive difference. You know, they were getting in a semi final with that. Out with that, their form's been good in the league. You know, they always, apart from Celtic and Rangers, every other team they've beat well. They beat Kilmarnock well the other day again as well, and Kilmarnock are the form team. I know Hibs have been brilliant as well, but Aberdeen have already beat them twice this year.
They need a striker, don't they?
Yeah.
Stevie May struggled, didn't he?
15
to 20
goals.
The way
they played, the way Aberdeen are set up, see if they get one, they're hard to beat. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because if they get the first goal, then it takes a lot. They don't concede a lot, you know what I mean? So if they get the first goal, it usually means they win.
So you fancy Hibs?
Yeah, I'll go Hibs. They've played Celtic already.
I fancy Aberdeen.
Aberdeen, right. So there we are, second spot.
And you?
And nobody's mentioned Rangers.
That's exactly what I was coming. Do you know what? Good question. I think Aberdeen might nick it, but I think that they're going to need to get a draw at Celtic Park.
Rangers play Hibs last game of the season as well.
At Easter Road.
What a last day.
That could be brilliant.
Because
in the midweek as well, Aberdeen Rangers in midweek, the Edinburgh Derby is first class.
Rangers, you couldn't bet Rangers now.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Last
summer, so you've got the new manager in, Pedro Caixinha. They're signing Alves, they're signing Dorans, they're signing Peña. Yep. To be fair to the board, they've backed the manager with an extra 80-90 grand a week onto the budget. I certainly couldn't imagine, I'm sure you guys are saying it, we'd be sitting here with three games of the season to go, and you're looking at Rangers saying, wow, they are so far off the pace. I couldn't imagine that happening when you look at what was happening this summer.
No. I expected Rangers to finish second this year, as you say, with the money they spent.
Comfortably.
But it just again goes to show you how good a job McInnes and Lennon have done at the two teams. Because Rangers have brought in good players. They have brought in good players, and the fact that Hibs and Aberdeen have been able to compete with them is a real credit.
But they've got good managers. I think that's it. Because let's face it, when Rangers were signing Dorans and guys like that and Murphy and something, you're thinking they're good players. Uh-huh. You know, they're good. They've proven they've went down to England and had good careers. So you don't become a bad player overnight, you know. But you see the job that McInnes and Lenny and Brendan's done here, you know, and that's the difference. You know, they get players in and the players do well, you know, whereas these guys have come in.
You think if McInnes got that job, it'd be cemented second banner?
I don't think they're going to get beat 5-0 here on Saturday, innit? It's Sunday, innit? You know, maybe a good one for missing it now, but I think he'd have made them. The first thing you've got to do is organise them, and Rangers don't need organising.
See, just to touch that, you brought up a point there, both of you, in terms of Derek McInnes. Okay, so let's see, Andy, you think Stevie Gerrard's not going to happen. Do you think they would go back to Derek McInnes?
It depends what they're getting back with, doesn't it?
Should they go back to Derek
McInnes? Listen, a lot of Rangers fans would say no, because he was given that opportunity, but there's no, you wouldn't say there's an outstanding candidate, whether it's, if Stevie G doesn't take it, where did he go now? Did he go European again?
No, I don't think they can.
You know, did he go foreign? No, or did he go, who has it in Scotland?
It's either
McInnes, Lenny's not going to take it, is it? So I think Stevie Clark's maybe been sounded out, and obviously no fancied it, so what other Scottish manager is out there, you know? Do you go to England and try and get somebody?
Would you give it like a Neil Warnock, Simon?
I would go with McInnes before Warnock. I think McInnes, on the budget that he's got and the players that he's got, alright, he's not ran Celtic close, but he's always been the one that's there or there about them. A bigger budget and better players, I think Dell could bring them close.
Because you see the job he's done at Aberdeen, right? People go, no, he's the funny second, but before he went in there, they were finishing 8th and 9th at Aberdeen. You know, they weren't, you know, and he's consulted every year. They've
built that football club up. Aberdeen, on its knees, he's done that job, hard to beat.
He went in there and done that, because listen, fans have got short memories, isn't it, you know, but as I say, a couple of years ago before he went in there, they were, if Aberdeen get in the top six, it was looked upon as a good season, you know. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, it's, if you don't finish, the fans are up in arms because they're maybe not going to finish second, you know. Sometimes you've got to be careful what you wish for, you know what I mean?
Well, it's certainly one that we'll be keeping an eye on here in the Open Goal podcast, who's going to finish second. It's going to be keep us going game by game right up to the final afternoon of the season on Sunday, May the 13th. Right, Simon Ferry, sit down. The bold Gary O'Connor. It's been getting fantastic feedback, great hits. Si, what light was the bulging to sit down and interview?
I don't know, I love big guys. I honestly do. See, every time I think about him, I just laugh, man. even the boys on the bus were saying when I eventually said, oh, we're interviewing big guys, they were so happy because they've heard so many stories. I'd done my beer licence with him and just laughed for the first minute to the end. Great guy. I'm happy that everyone's seen guys in a good light, because honestly, see, even on the beer licence, he couldn't have been a nicer guy, man. He'd mm-hmm. do anything for you. And he's always happy to tell you the stuff that you wouldn't think he'd want to speak about. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he gets it off his chest, and he loves helping people, and people that have been in the same situation as him. So I'm just so happy that people have seen the real Gaz, because he's a lovely big guy. He really is.
There was dozens and dozens of lines in Simon's interview.
Is that a good choice of words?
It's an old journalistic term. It's a good line. You know, like, okay, let's say there was 10 back page headlines and 10 main spread headlines, which is always a sign of a good interview. And credit to Simon for that. Cheers, as well, mate. Because you've got to make the guy that you're interviewing feel comfortable, so that, as you know, Andy, so that he can open up to you. So credit for that. You should never take these interviews for granted. But during the interview, Gary said that had that Hibs golden generation stayed together, the one that pretty much started with Bobby Williamson and kicked on into Tony Mowbray, Kevin Thompson, Stephen Whittaker, Derek Riordan, Scott Brown, Gary O'Connor, himself, Gary Caldwell was kind of probably part of it as well, Stephen Fletcher. So I mean, Boozlin was part of that as well. He was a real important part of the team.
Weeks.
So you were with Bobby, that's right.
I was there right at the start. I'd done pre-season there. I'd left Kelly and Bobby had phoned me, and I thought I was going to sign. I'd done the pre-season and that, and then the chairman at the time, I don't think he fancied me. And it didn't happen, but I was there for 6 weeks.
And you were flying at that time in your career, weren't you?
I played a few games. I actually played an Edinburgh Derby. We played Hibs Hearts in a Festival Cup or something. It was pre-season. I played every game pre-season. And every time I was going to see Bob, I was like, we're going to get it sorted. I just had to take him in a loaf every morning.
This office is stinking a fish, Gaff.
Well, could you tell back then that they were good players?
Aye, you could tell. I'm not sure of the golden generation and that, right enough, because I think Dundee United had a few and Aberdeen had a few and things like that. So every club looks back on that and you think, oh, we could have won the league and things like that. But Hibs and all that are always going to sell players, aren't they? You know,
I'm off the top of my head, you're talking about, what, more than 10 million quid in sales for those boys. But in fact, well over 12 million quid actually over that kind of 2 year period where they sold. Yeah, the boys, some money.
I remember Martin O'Neill.
That's over a decade ago.
I remember Martin O'Neill speaking. I think it was recently saying that how good that Hibs team was. They were top Celtic and Rangers teams at the time. They boys were running close every time they played them. You know.
Well, they're going to Ibrox and Parkhead.
Beating with teams like who was Lenny and Rangers, Barry Ferguson, stuff like that. And Tom O'Bruny. I mean, the two of them together were outstanding. Whether they'd win the league or not, it's a different argument. Isn't it? I don't know.
Consistency comes with it, didn't it? I played in the United teams. I mean, the United team with Big Dunk, Christian Daly, and guys like that who went for massive money as well. And it could be argued if you'd have kept him, and guys like Alec Clelland, Gary Boland, Ori guys, you know, we'd John O'Neill. Finn Dawson.
He was with Calpine, was a Scottish football writer's player here, though.
Was he?
Hamish a great man there.
The Peterhead legend sitting there, slotting Hamish McAlpine, by the way.
No, I know he's a top keeper.
He probably scored more goals, more penalties than you as well.
By the way, I was at Tyneside a couple of weeks ago, the United Falkirk, and Hamish must be
ambassadorial.
Hamish well into his 60s. He's looking brilliant.
Oh, he looks great.
He's still got
beautiful moustache in it, man.
You said everyone up Dundee's got a moustache in it.
You get that as soon as you move up there, don't you? Moustache and a pair of sambas.
Sounds like my old dear.
Right, that's a brilliant note. A brilliant note for it. It's always good. It's always good to finish with a laugh because you never know what the rest of the day's got ahead. Anyway, listen, thanks again for joining us on the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. Thanks again to Simon Ferry for joining. He's just going to go to his bed now, 3 days sleep ahead of these playoffs. He doesn't know yet that he's not starting, he's on the bench. And to Andy McLaren, thanks for sharing your time with us, Andy. Always a pleasure.
Cheers, mate. Thanks.
Listen, I know you'll be listening next week with another special guest on. We'll see how things are shaping up. Take care, and we'll speak to you soon.